It's Monster.
It's Wine. And this podcast may not be suitable for all ages.
The opinions we have in our podcast aren't necessarily the same of those of the Comic Bastards.
So blame us if things get too saucy.
Or too awesome.
Let's go!
Did you miss us, ladies and gentlemen? I hope you did, because we now return you to your regularly scheduled Monster and Wine. I am Monster.
And I am Wine.
That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It was. I felt like saying, back for more cash.
I could feel my tongue getting twisted as I spoke.
That happens.
As if I was new to this.
That happens every time I open my mouth.
Yeah. It is like, wait a minute. I know how to speak, don't I?
Are you sure we know where this is going? Are you sure you know where this is going? You're about to use this word, and I don't even think that you know what it means.
That's right, folks. You had a week off. Don't blame us. I know. You missed it. But we had a good reason. At least I like to think we had a good reason. Right, Aaron?
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
You can blame me.
Huh?
I said you can blame me.
Yeah, you can tell these scumbags why we took a week off.
Because
I know they're listening going, you sons of bitches. You entitled artists.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Who do you think you are? You think you're above us? We do, but tell them anyway, Aaron.
Well, I think that I'm a daughter whose parents flew 3,000 miles to see them.
Yeah, there you go. You can't beat that, people. I mean, you can't. You can't.
Try it. What?
I mean, you can try.
Yeah, nothing out there. I don't hear anything.
But you can't. That's right. There's silence.
Silent.
Only the sounds of children laughing.
Playing some stupid game.
Surely it's dumb. Like, a game so dumb you'd say to yourself, even if I were your age,
that's a dumb fucking game. And I played, I invented a game that was so dumb. It was a sport. It involved a wooden chair and a tennis ball. And it was a combination of wall ball and volleyball with the... And basketball with the seat of the chair.
So stupid. So dumb.
Dumb. But it, I can't even tell you the rules, but I just remember playing it being like, this is so much fun. This is like I imagine how Naismith felt when he invented basketball. Like,
and that
I'm onto something.
Is what's going on in the parking lot right now. But... And this is a great segue. There's something else going on in that parking lot, isn't there, Aaron?
There is.
Did you like that? You like how? Oh, God.
There
like I've been doing this for 100 something episodes. What? Yes.
I got it. I got it, people. I got it.
I
introduced to you.
Return you to Car Talk.
Car Talk. Introducing Luke. My new car.
Luke.
I named Luke after Luke May of the champion North Carolina Tar Heels. Luke May is the one that made that 3-point shot. I believe it was in the Kentucky game that propelled the team on. Luke May was He just always hustled. I was like, he was like Rudy. And in turn, he was like myself. He wasn't pretty good out there. Lumbering white fella. But man, the heart that kid played with. And he nailed that shot. And I said, when I get my new car, if it feels right, I want to name it Luke.
I like to think that Luke May is one of our 14 downloads, our regulars.
I hope so, but he doesn't know who I am.
Don't say that, Aaron. He's probably in his car listening to last week's episode right now, or the 2 weeks ago episode.
Yeah. Could there be a chance? Am I in the running? Yes, Luke May, you are. So I got the 2017 Mazda 3 Sport Trim, black interior. The exterior is, I got to get this right. Let me go on my Mazda app to get the correct.
I have the color ready. You texted it to me.
Oh my gosh, I did, didn't I? Oh yes, deep crystal blue mica.
Okay, that's not what you texted me, but we were in the ballpark.
Oh, I was probably just excited.
Did you say deep crystal mica?
Deep crystal blue mica.
Ah, okay. You sent me dark crystal, like the movie.
I was excited.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Crystal was in there, though.
Yeah, and blue and mica.
Right.
So it is. Interesting. It's that.
It's a good looking color.
It's that dark blue where you're like, in the sun, you're like, that's a navy blue, but low light areas, nighttime ish, yeah. You're kind of like, is that black?
Right. It's tiptoeing on the line of black. I like it.
Thank you.
It's a sleek looking car. That profile.
It's got a profile shot. It is. It's got a little bit of attitude. I really like the front.
That menacing grill barreling down on you.
Oh, it's got a nice grill. Nice grill.
It does.
Man, and the inside, I drove it to work for the first time on Monday.
Did the gaggle of women hang out around it and talk about it?
Oh, well, I had to drive.
I feel like
I drove to lunch to pick up lunch, so.
I feel like that happens every time someone gets a new car. It's like an event at the workplace.
Yeah.
Everyone comes out to take a look at it, and the new owner's kind of blushing in the cheeks. They're just like, yeah, it is pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's cool, though. That's part of the fun.
It's just weird. There's so many just weird things about getting used to it. For instance, not turning an ignition key. Like pressing a button.
Oh wow, you're so future tech.
Is weird.
That's cool though.
That
push like, ignition.
Yeah, I get in and my phone just starts playing what I was listening to.
Oh my god.
I'm like, wow, man, that's weird. It's so quiet. I remember driving to work, and the speedometer it has like 60s in big and 80s in big. And 70 is just, you know, halfway between them. And I remember just looking down just and feeling, because my dad said, you know, first 6 months, you don't want to do anything too crazy on the engine. You want to kind of break it in slowly, even though they say at the dealership with these modern cars, like, oh, no, go ahead, drive it like you would normally. But still, you don't want to do anything too crazy. So I thought I was going a nice pedestrian 60. I look down, I'm going 80.
Oh, that's and nice, isn't it?
It's effortless. So quiet. Yeah. I'm used to when I'm doing 70, it was like, blah, 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 blah.
You're right. It's like that Eve 6 song, My Pile Shakes When I Hit 80 on the Open Road.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that guy beat, God rest his soul, that was going. I mean, when you hit 65, over 65, that's when my pile shook.
Right. That's dangerous, because you're going to be like, I was going 75, officer. You were going 100.
Yeah.
So, and then you look at him and go, it's the Mazda. And then you both look at the camera and thumbs up.
Thumbs up. But here's the thing, Jason. Here's a little modern tidbit that the car has.
Oh my goodness.
To keep me in check. Because now it's speaking to my wallet. And you know right about now, I'm all about that wallet.
Right.
It's got in its info, so you can see how many miles to go before you need to fill up the tank. Or you can see like what your average miles per gallon is. Mm. So I have that set up. So I look at that and I want that to be as high as possible. So I, you know, I ease my foot off the gas and that thing just coasts. And I'm like, no, saving on gas. You know, when it turns green, there's no lead foot because I'm like, that's bad for my MPG average.
Wow. I bet you're just feeling cool as a cucumber going down the road in that puppy.
Today, it's funny you say that because I've been like, oh, you know, and like, you know, kind of nervous and just like kind of wrapping my head around it.
Because I'll pull the curtain back for the listeners here. My biggest bit of advice for Aaron on this venture was to her, for once it was her car, once she got her new ride, I wanted her to just enjoy it. It's done. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a done deal. Yeah, you know, you're going to have some payments for a hot minute. Sure, we know. That's the shit part. But it's a new car. And you haven't had one in a while. You were more patient than most, quite frankly, before getting a new one. So just enjoy it. Go ahead.
I have been, but I've also been like very sort of like, oh, like kind of like settling into it. And when I was just not even 15 minutes ago, I'm driving home and there, you know, there was just this truck that was just being a truck going like 30 miles an hour. And I was just like, well, you know, we gotta go around this truck. And yeah. I just like tapped on it. And it just went by the truck like with ease, and
she's got some punch, huh?
I was responsible. I'm very responsible, but it just had that, just, you know, oh, we're driving, and yes, this is nice and smooth and stuff, but if you need me, I'm right here for you. If there's some trouble you got to get out of real quick in a minute, I'm here.
Got that boost.
And I was like, oh, Luke, I love you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even in sport mode.
Damn.
Just regular, just like, oh, man. It's just nice. It's different, but it's nice. Just, it's a weird, like, there's just different weird things that I'm like getting used to. The lights. I might have been driving last night for maybe 10 minutes without lights on. I don't know. I thought that the auto was on. So then the auto was on. And then last night I park and I'm like, the lights aren't turning off. I'm pretty sure that they're going to turn off. I think they're going to. And then they did turn off. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to leave it in auto and let the lights just turn on when they deem it necessary to turn on.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to get used to it and for you to kind of get over that. This thing's new and expensive, so I don't want anything to come into contact with it, not even a fucking bird feather.
Oh, my gosh. The wind. Last night it was that so windy.
You know?
I checked at least 3 times.
Yeah, just to be like, it'll be that way for a bit.
Did anything fly off? Like, did anything, what's going on? These kids out there? I don't know.
Yeah. They're in the back of your head, aren't they, right now? Like, you better not fuck around. Don't be a fool. Don't be stupid.
I will whip your ass. I will go to jail for Luke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is, like, something that expensive and that shiny and new and something that's just, like, yeah, so vital too into your core daily routine.
And
you definitely want to baby it.
And really, like, the nicest thing I've ever owned.
Right. And it's a good looking car, people. I can attest. I saw the pictures and I was like, look at this fucking thing. Ooh.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's like, okay.
I like the, God, I'm going to sound like such a non-alpha male here. So nothing new. The rims.
I know.
Yeah, the rims look real cool.
I have actual wheels and rims. It's not hubcaps.
Yeah, no hubcaps. It's like that real metal rim shit going on, which is nice.
Oh man, which makes it very nerve wracking. Because my dad's like, whenever you can, parallel park it. And I'm like, oh my god, these aren't hubcaps now. Now it's serious. Yeah.
If I scratch these, they're not going anywhere until I replace the tire and the.
Oh my god.
The rim. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just the agita, as you like to say.
Agita. You're giving me agita, people.
I had a nice conversation with my brother because I called him from my phone on my drive home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, man, this is just a world of opportunities.
And you're I can hear you, bro, because this car is so quiet.
Yeah.
You're like, you're coming in loud and clear, baby.
I had to turn him down. He was cooking. I was like, oh, my God, what is this?
You're like, bro, are you screaming at me right now?
Yeah. Jeez.
Indoor voice.
Dial it back.
That's cool. Let's clap that up, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aaron got that new ride.
Thank you. I won't even go into there was a moment of sheer panic Friday afternoon where I was like, oh my God, it's all coming undone.
Is the deal going to fall through?
There was a time. Yes.
Yes. Stay tuned till next episode.
There was of course this is happening.
Of course. And it's a major transaction involving a lot of money.
There were a lot of moving pieces that went into this transaction deal.
Got to be a panic moment.
Had to move a lot of assets around. And was not too happy that people were telling me that, it's, what do you mean you will not let me deposit my money into my own account?
Dun, dun, dun.
What does this mean? But I just had a seeking. I made the joke of, well, you know what? Maybe this racism, and we'll just go elsewhere. And it did turn. I don't know. I'm not saying it was racism, but it ended up working out elsewhere. So.
So you had to go to a different place.
I just had to go to a different branch.
Oh, I see. So today, as we record this, it is the 28th of April. Your parents came out when?
Oh, last Friday.
Yeah, last Friday, which was the 21st.
Yeah, the 21st.
Now, I'm assuming they gave you the thumbs up with your choice of car?
Yeah, I mean, I had kept them abreast of all of the options in the situation.
Sure.
Because they had to... Well, their name was on Gybe's title, so they had to make sure that they brought that. They had them to other moving parts that were in on this. They were in charge of, or one could say officiating over, or you could just say I don't know. You know what I'm saying. So yeah, I was.
Now,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you set yourself up with this new car in the same situation as the old car, where you're kind of beholden to your parents a little bit? They're tied into it.
No. No, it's mine.
Uh-huh. Did your dad approve of it? Was he like, that's a good fucking choice right there?
Yeah, he said he was proud of me.
Yeah, for sure he is. We're all proud of you. Clap that up.
People. You know, I did all of the, it wasn't like this had just been sprung on him. I mean, they listened to the podcast, so they knew. And then plus there were the countless hours of telephone conversation.
Thank you, Papa Bush.
There was the telephone conversation about it. Like they were, with the Elantra and all of that. And then, after I had the test drive of the Mazda, And I was like, oh, wow, that was, like, really mm-hmm. funny. And I say, wee. And, you know, my dad was the one who was like, look, you're working. Mm. You should have something that, you know, puts a smile on your face. Yeah.
Mm.
So, he wanted to know all of the specs. And I know he looked it up on the Edmunds and the car and driver to see what it was. And then I also called my cousin, who is, you know, he says that he's not a big car guy, but he's one of those Captain Research types, and he knows a lot about cars. So I called him, and he pulled it right up, and he's had Mazdas before, and so he was telling me all about different transmissions and all of this stuff, and so he, you know, he gave his thumbs up to it. And, you know, Christine, sister-in-law, she has a Mazda 3. So she, from the very beginning, she was like, I love this car. You know, you should check out the Mazda 3s.
There you go. Mazda always looking good. Always coming out looking good.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. And it was really, you know, the test drive that really sold it.
That's what seals the deal. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it just,
it's like the equivalent of an apartment tour. It looks good online, but I got to see it in person.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because then you see it and you feel like the walls and you're like, oh, because that's what I like about this car is that it's sturdy. It doesn't feel like all plasticky.
Yeah, like it's just going to fall apart if you nudge something too hard.
Yeah, like if it feels like a vehicle. And my mother was the first one in the back seat. She was in the back seat and she was like, I like how sturdy this feels around you.
That's good. Never heard anyone say anything really bad about a Mazda. And I know that sounds like some weird sales line, but it's true.
Yeah. You know, I was always in the Toyota camp, and I definitely don't have anything bad to say about Toyota.
Yeah.
Because that car, I mean, look how long it lasted and how it took care of me and stuff. So, like, they make great and fantastic vehicles. This was just, it was just a test drive where you just drive it and you're just like, man, this is, like, it's pretty fun to drive.
Yeah. Well, may it treat you well for many years to come.
Hear, hear. I drink to that, sir.
Yeah, that's an exciting thing.
And can I just say, I couldn't have done this without you, Jason,
hey,
aka
come on.
Captain Research.
Da 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 da.
Always
just ripped my really good shirt.
Always just firing up the fingers. Was there to slap me. Like Sharon Moonlight, snap out of it.
Calm yourself. Listen, I love a good research task. I'm there if anyone needs a second opinion on something or just the general consensus on a thing, a service, on an item, what have you.
I got another job for you.
Oh, my. Do tell.
Well, that leads me into something second. I have cut cable. I cut the cord.
Okay.
I returned my cable box. I returned my DVR.
Yes.
So right now, I bought a Roku stick, and the NBA playoffs are on the TNT Turner Network, so I bought a subscription to Sling, $20 month to month. I can stream the games, but I was looking into, and I'm just like, I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have cable and we could still watch television, our NBCs, our ABCs, our CBSs, our what have yous.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking into the best indoor digital antenna.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a whole new world out there now.
Wow. Let me make a note on that because I will forget that. Best indoor digital antenna.
Yes.
That's gonna test my abilities.
I've done some preliminary research myself. I'm just curious to see what the captain comes up with. Because these broadcast channels, they're free. They're being broadcasted.
It's just the best antenna to tap into them.
Yes. And I know that some channels you're not going to get as good as others. That's just the way it is. I remember. That's why I bristle at being associated or lumped in with the millennials, because I remember having to physically get up if I wanted to watch, say, Fox and change the antenna. Yes.
Yeah. Good times. But I'll see what I can do. This is interesting. Because, you know, once you cut that cable to cable, it's all about finding your alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a ton out there, ladies and germs. You are not beholden to Time Warner. Well, it's no longer Time Warner.
Spectrum.
Yeah. And Comcast or whatever your service provider is. There are options, people. There are options for you. You don't have to get that $100+ package when you only want like 15 channels and then you have like 150 that you never even waste your time with.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like I just looked and I said, when do I watch live television?
That's a big one nowadays.
I was just coming on and going onto the DVR to watch what I had already recorded. And if I watched live television, it was always just a default of basketball. So that's why I'm like, all right, well, it's the playoffs now. And like Sling's like, you can cancel anytime.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, it might get a little dicey once like a big soccer tournament starts.
But again, cross that bridge when you get to it and start looking at what the options are for it.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So how long were your parents out there?
They arrived last Friday and they left Wednesday.
So almost a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good amount of time.
Yeah, did you guys... That's a silly question. Did you guys have a good time?
I had a great time. Went to Malibu, I believe, Sunday evening.
Ooh la la.
My dad had a Mustang convertible, so we did the whole scenic sunset to the PCH up to Malibu. And the kid got windburned.
The kid is sensitive to the elements.
The kid has sensitive skin. I believe it's been documented.
We have gone over this before, I believe.
Oh, yeah. The kid did not like... The kid's face did not appreciate the wind whipping the kid's hair into said kid's face. Well, yeah, wow. Monday was just like, why is my face... like so red and puffy and just like pizza face. Why am I a 13-year-old boy this morning?
Damn. That wind acnified you almost.
It did. Acnified me.
It was like pizza face, go.
Go activate.
Oh, just as a side note. If we have a weird sudden interruption in tonight's show, there might be a power outage. We are experiencing a very heavy, wet snowfall right now in Colorado.
It's almost and May!
It's unbelievable. And that heavy snow, you know how the power cables and whatnot like that?
They don't like that.
Yeah, the lamp in my room, the lights... flickered a few times already during this this show tonight. So I'm just giving you a heads up, people.
That's good to
pull the curtain. Pull the curtain.
Oh man.
So, charging the phone right now, just in case.
Got to.
Yeah.
Do you have water? Do you have water and food?
I do.
All right.
I think we'll be okay. I got a big thing. I got a Nalgene full of water, if that's how you pronounce it.
Do you think this is the last snow of the season?
It's so hard to say with this state, because this is very typical Colorado, where it's like mid, like early to mid spring snowfall out of nowhere. And it really kind of wreaks havoc on like some of the vegetation and the crops and stuff, because
I can imagine.
they've been bamboozled.
They're all,
it's time to go.
Are we doing this? Are we going? Is it, guys? No, guys, come on!
Like,
we're doing this. Oh, big mistake.
Yeah, and then suddenly, boom, 39, freezing snow. And all the veggies are like, why, you son of a bitch?
Damn you, Chad.
So, yeah. And my lamp is like flickering. Like a horror movie in there. Oh shit. Yeah. Well, I'm good. That's good that you got to hang out with the folks, do that California Mustang convertible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know how much you value your parental unit time.
Ah, they're the best.
Yeah, so it's always a good time.
Indeed.
You know, now I'm like, I gotta go back out there and visit and ride in that new car of yours.
Oh yeah, wipe your feet.
Oh yeah, I'll just take my shoes. I'll just get in the socks.
Socks. Wouldn't that be funny if somebody was like that? No shoes in my car. Socks.
Put the shoes in the trunk. And socks only, please.
No, it would be like, you're gonna take your shoes off once you get in the car, and then you slide, and then shoes on your lap.
You're just holding them together, nice and neat.
Yeah, no, I already made a mess because I parked. Parked next to debris. It's because it's super windy here, so it's just I don't even know what it's called, but that weird puffy, it's like brown, almost cottony kind of stuff that comes from trees.
Those tumbleweeds.
Yeah, but it's not tumbleweeds, but it's bigger than that. It's like flower debris. You know when things like bloom and then it's just in the like the gutters and the crevasses and the parking structures.
I don't know why, but when you're saying debris of an amateur R&B singer / rapper that never really made it.
Yes, that's so a great
their older
name.
Sibling was DeBrat, and they just never caught on, like their older sibling.
Debris.
And they're very underground, debris. Shittiest joke, but that's seriously what I kept thinking of every time you said debris. Just this sad underground rapper who couldn't rap to anybody.
What was their hit that they're like, oh, this is a jam, but it went nowhere? Debris.
I gotta make up a whole backstory for debris.
I just love it. Debris.
Debris. I'm picturing like this Willow Jaden Smith type of young face.
Yeah.
With blonde little knotted hair.
Yeah, some thingy. Sort of gimmick. There needs to be some sort of like fashion gimmick. That
the big puffy double XL jacket.
Yeah.
Kind of draped off the back of the shoulders a little bit.
Debris.
There's a new character somewhere. Debris.
Love debris. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, I got debris in my car. Debris all around. Maybe they were like debris all around you, yo. And it was like
debris
this weird,
all around you.
Yeah. But they wanted to go for a hard sound, but all their management was leaning debris towards pop, And Debris was like, no, I got Edge. And they're like, no, this is what's selling. And so they went the pop route.
And it just didn't work because Debris wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
And they could feel that in on that. The there was no authenticity.
Yes.
It's a shame.
Oh, true Hollywood
anyway,
story.
Anyway, we got really, really excited. This episode is called The Legend of Debris.
I love Debris.
Debris.
They're like, why did you name yourself after trash? But it sounds cool, but it's trash debris. It's debris. Nobody's like popping bottles of debris.
Like if you didn't think of it as trash, you would think it was like some kind of eccentric name for an artist.
It does sound nice. I guarantee you there's 500,000 people named Debris.
There's debris out there.
Oh, there are some. Because it sounds nice. It's a nice name.
Yeah. It's the debris part.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that it just means, you know, waste.
So close. So close to a truly beautiful name.
So far away.
What are we talking about right now? I feel like we just made a show for others into a truly just a thing for us.
Oh, yeah.
In that moment.
I'm going places with debris. Debris will show up everywhere.
This is a character that
debris
you have.
Debris will show up everywhere.
Debris will, especially in those heavy Santa Clarita winds.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I parked there because I'm doing what my father told me to, you know, parking. You know, if you can't parallel park, park next to like the median or something, you know, so you're protecting the side of your car. And I get out and in, and I'm like, son of a bitch, I tracked all sorts of debris into the car already.
You know what's really going to suck? That first moment when you spill like a sweet drink in the cup holder.
Oh my God. I haven't even farted in the car yet, Jason.
Yeah, and then like you get like that little sticky ring at the bottom of the cup holder, and you're just like, "Fuck."
There's no beverage. I'm not a big beverage in the car person, like you are.
Yeah, I love a good cup holder.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'll put it to use.
The nice thing about Luke is that the cup holder it can be hidden. There's a. You slide it. It's a thing that slides over it.
Yeah.
You know that the stuff that looks like tank tracks.
Tank tread. I got that on mine.
Yeah, and so it slides over it, and so the thing that's in the cup holders, I have my gate.
Your clicker.
Yeah, because I learned the hard way, ladies and gentlemen. Do not have your clicker out in the open. Because if repo people are coming to repossess another vehicle and they need to break out, they will break your window to take your clicker. It happened to me.
Damn.
Yeah.
My cup holder's never been covered, by the way.
This is covered.
That tank tread.
Yep.
I never.
I'm like, I'm not.
It's always. Bloody. Mm. Hmm.
Well, it's always got a monster in it. Well, who are we kidding?
A monster and a kombucha.
Yeah. It always...
Total opposite.
There's just that smell around the cup holder area of that stank. Faint monster vinegar.
Yeah. Everyone says it stinks, but when I smell it, I'm just like, yeah.
It's got a smell.
That's the ticket.
That's it. Sweet nectar.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Go ahead for it.
I'd like to talk about the series finale of Bates Motel.
Oh.
Done. Finito. Mm. All said and done. So, I talked about this a little bit in the past and how they deviated with the Marion Crane storyline, right?
Right.
So what we're dealing with here is we got the dead Norma. And by the way, this is very spoiler heavy, folks. Because I'm about to ruin this motherfucker.
Do it up.
Norma's dead. And killed by Norman, who, I think I said, like, he broke, like, the heater or something. Like, he killed him with some gas in the house and tried to die with his mother. But it ended up only killing her. So the sheriff of the town, Sheriff Romero, he kind of went, he lost his shit because he knew that Norman killed her, but he just couldn't prove it.
That was the dude with the eyeliner, right?
Exactly. Guyliner from Lost.
Yeah.
He knew that Norman did it. So he just kind of made it his mission to get revenge on Norman however he could, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was he was thrown in jail for some other aspect of the storyline not related to Norman.
These are bullshit charges, man.
He was kind of up to shenanigans and you caught up with him. So he gets thrown in jail and obviously Norman's like, hey, you ain't going to get me now. So long story short, he gets out of prison. He gets real sneaky with it.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out and he goes after Norman, who at this point is in jail himself being held because of all these murders. Like all the murders were coming back to Norman that he had committed. And he, at this point, Norma had fully taken over Norman. She was running this.
Oh, damn. Really?
Yeah, so it's really weird to watch him talk as if he's Norma, by the way. It's really creepy. So
did he nail her, like, because she would go from 0 to 60?
Mostly he was doing the very calm kind of manipulative but very in control style of talking, like, well, if you say so, you know, like
creepy.
real cool, calm and collected. He was playing that angle. So, but it's funny because Norman's the only one that can see Norma, and Norma's telling him that I'm going to have to take over control now because I don't trust you, sweetie. And
wow,
just
weird.
Kind of, it's weird, right?
Uh-huh.
Just kind of takes over his mind in a way. So he's in jail being held and starting to realize that the charges are more serious than he thought and he's going to have to go to trial, blah, blah, blah. Dylan, his brother, hires a lawyer for him on his behalf. But then that gets real sticky because his wife, Emma, well, her mother was murdered by Norman.
Awkward.
Yeah, there you go. So he's real torn because he's like, he's my brother, blah, 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 you know. And the lawyer's like, look, there's a lot of charges up against Norman here. And obviously we're going to go for the insanity defense or whatever. And it would look really good if you could be in the courtroom, if you could make an appearance talking to Dylan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously causing a rift between him and his wife, and they have a daughter together. But he shows up to the trial, and once they start talking about the murders in detail, he gets up and leaves. So even Dylan couldn't back that pony, if you will. Now, the sheriff he kind of bum rushes this small little police station where Norman's being held.
Mm-hmm.
Puts all the cops that were there, maybe I think there's like 3 or 4, puts them in the cell, locks them up, takes Norman out, takes the receptionist with him that, you know, used to work for him when he was sheriff. And they get in the car and he's like, take me to Norma's body. He's like, I'm going to, you know, finally going to prove this and get revenge on you, you little shit. So he goes out into the middle of the woods where he buried his mom. And Norma is still taking control of him. So it's funny watching him talk to Sheriff as Norma. And they had a past together. It's really bizarre.
Oh, man. Wait a second, though. Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Norma is when he's being Norma, is he being who he imagined Norma to be? Or he totally has all of Norma's, like, you know how you were saying, like, the sheriff and Norma, they had a past. Did Norman know about the sheriff and Norma's past?
Yes, that's why he hated the sheriff, because he thought, you know, they wanted to lock him in an insane asylum so they could get married and forget all about him. So he blamed the sheriff for everything.
Oh.
So they go out to the woods. He takes her to the body. Sheriff makes him dig her up. And sure enough, she's there. He beats the shit out of Norman. And Norman's laying there looking like a fucking bloody ball of doo-doo. And the sheriff, he starts weeping over Norma's body. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Yada, yada. I was like, okay, you dumb fuck. Why would you keep... Rookie mistake. Don't turn your back to the motherfucker that's unstable, that you just beat up.
Yeah. Come on.
Sure enough, it's such an amateur move. Sure enough, Norman cracks him over the head with a rock, takes his gun, and shoots him like 5 times.
Damn.
How's that taste? The cops lay in there. Sorry?
I just said, how'd that taste? Sheriff, yeah.
Yeah, he's laying there dying, and he's like, how could you killed your mother? You killed your mother. And at this point, Norma separates from Norman's mind, and he's looking at his mother, and he's all beat up and bloody, and she's like, I'm going to leave you now, Norman. You don't need me to protect you anymore. You know everything. And then she disappears, and he falls over. And then when he wakes up, he's back in his bed, and his mother's laying next to him. And everything's sunny and beautiful, and she's making breakfast for him, right? And it's not really what's happening. He's still laying in the snow in the forest, and sitting up, but in his mind he's replaying all of the events from the first episode when they first showed up in White Pine Bay at the Bates Motel.
Mm-hmm.
He's replaying it all in his mind. It's like his brain hit the reset button. And so he's in the car driving back to the hotel, and his hair's all fucked up, and he's all covered in blood and dirt, and his dead mom's in the back seat. But in his head, he's seeing it as if he's in the car with his mom and they're driving to the hotel for the first time, way back in the first episode.
Man, he is all kinds of crazy.
All kinds of crazy. So it's like his brain reset everything, like it was trying to try again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Factory reset.
Yes. He held down the power button and volume up on his phone or whatever. So he gets back to the hotel. He goes inside. He calls his brother Dylan, just like he did in the first episode when you find out that he even had a brother and they were estranged because they got in this big fight before they moved to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls Dylan and he's like, I'm so sorry. You know, would you come over for dinner sometime? And, you know, we just got here to the hotel and we haven't seen you since the big fight. It's literally like everything from the first episode that he's saying. And Dylan's like, you know, he was freaking out because the police were out looking for the sheriff because they knew that Sheriff Romero had kidnapped him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
and they hadn't heard from the Romero or Norman. So he's like, can you come over for dinner, Dylan? And he's like, yeah, sure. And before he goes, though, smart thinking, he gets a jammy from one of his old friends in the weed business.
His friend Debris.
And Debris gives him that heater. And he goes over to the house. And Norman's making dinner. And he carries his dead mom to the dinner table. And Norma's sitting there, like, fucking rotting. And he's just making dinner with his little apron on, like, nothing's wrong. And Dylan walks in. And he's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Dylan. You know, go in, say hi to mom. Dinner will be ready in a minute. And he goes and looks in the... And he sees Norma, and he just starts vomiting. Which is appropriate. Your dead, rotting mother sitting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And Norman is so out of it. He's just like, oh, you poor thing. You must be feeling unwell. Let me clean that up for you. Don't worry. And Dylan starts screaming at him. He's like, stop this, Norman. Cut this, you know, cut this shit, basically. He's like, mother is dead. And he's like, why would you say that, Dylan? And it's so... They took an interesting take on it because, you know, in the movies, you're just like, Norman Bates is fucking insane, right?
Yeah. Well, psycho.
Yeah. In the show, they took more of an approach of it's pitiful. Like, you feel bad for him because he's so mentally ill and there's nothing that anybody can do for him. And you're seeing how it's just like tearing his family apart and how torn apart he is and how much he's tried to fight off his delusions.
Man.
They really took that angle with it. And Dylan's like all up in his face and he was like, you got to get help, Norman. And he's like, Norman's like, well, and what? Send me to the hospital where they're going to stuff me full of drugs and I'm just going to be sitting there like a vegetable. Is that what you want? And Dylan says, what I want. He's like, what I want, I can't have. And it gets real heavy. Aaron, are you ready? Dylan's crying and he said, I want you to be happy. I was just like, fuck this show. Fuck this show.
Don't look at me.
He's like, yeah, don't look at me. Really, it was just such a heavy, sensitive moment between siblings, you know?
Well, he's got to take Norman out. He's got no choice.
He was like, I want you to be happy. I want my mom to still be alive. I want you two to meet my daughter. I want us to have Christmases together. It was fucking heavy. I was like, this show! And they're both crying, and then Norman turns around and grabs a knife off of the counter. And he's like, I can't let you take me away from mother. And he runs at Dylan, and Dylan shoots him right in the gut. And he falls over into his arms. And he's crying, and he's holding Norman, and he's like, I'm so sorry, Norman, I'm so sorry. And in Norman's head, he's running through this forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sees his mom waiting for him with her arms wide open, and he runs into her arms, picks him up, and he's a little boy again. And it shows him again in Dylan's arms, and he says, thank you to Dylan, and dies.
Man.
I was like, this fucking show. It was, I knew from the very first episode that this wasn't what traditional Psycho, right?
Yeah.
So I always knew like they could go this direction with this show if they wanted to, because they've already shown that this is a different flavor tea. And it really was the ending I was hoping for. Like, I was like, this is what I want for this to be. Norman has to die.
And his brother has to be the one that kills him.
Because, I mean, it's so, like, poetic. Like, he's finally free. from his illness, and he can be with his mother again. And the way it was written, I was like, Norman is so backed into a fucking corner that if he gets away from this, it's total ridiculous horse shit. Like, he's got to die or go to jail or something, but satisfying, and neither would a insane asylum. So he dies, and then it shows his brother with Emma, and their daughter's older. And then it shows Norma's tombstone, and it's one of those, or headstone, it's one of those big ones side by side with Norman. Mm-hmm. And Norma's got all this nice writing on her side because of what Norman said when she passed. And Norman has nothing except his date of birth and his date of death.
They didn't do anything where the daughter, then they zoom into the daughter and she has like a weird look and they're like, da-da-da.
No. But it was a really satisfying finale, in my opinion.
Did they ever talk about his father?
Mm-hmm. Norma killed him? Or maybe Norman killed him. I think Norma killed him, and then that's why they left Arizona.
Oh. Or
I think it was, and went to Oregon. That was why they initially left, because he was like some abusive asshole.
So Norman was just like, just born with this crazy mental illness?
Yeah, basically his mom is mentally ill and passed it on to him, and his dad was abusive, and just a recipe for disaster, really.
But did Norma have the visual delusions that Norman did, or was that Norman just had that complete break? And
it was Norman having that complete break, okay, because he was so like inseparable with his mother. Man. And just, they were like one and the same, you know, and at least in his head, to the point where it was like all of his actions were kind of dictated by the voice of his mother, until it became, like I said, like one and the same, where suddenly he was being his mother. Yeah, it was wild. And it was cool because apparently the creators of the show, they said, you know, we knew that this is how many episodes that we wanted, and they were generous enough to give it to us. And there's nothing better than being able to write for an ending.
Yeah.
And they let us do that. And that's exactly what we did, which is great. And when a show can do that, I think it makes the series as a whole better.
Yeah.
Because it's not dragging itself along towards some end date that they don't even know of.
Mm-hmm.
Less filler, more thriller.
Yeah, especially with shows like that, those dramas. It almost needs to have an end date so that they're going towards something.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have known how they could have made that show go on any longer, because by the time we got to season 5, it was like, all right, we get it. The dude's fucking nuts. But in a really pitiful way. I really like the way they took the direction with it, so that he just wasn't some cold-blooded killer that had lost his mind. It was just like this really sad dissension of his character and his mind.
Like a human, like realistic human sort of.
Yeah. Instead of a Universal movie monster, yeah, it was like a real human take on this dude's mental illness. So kudos to the Bates Motel people and Freddie Highmore, the little British boy that could.
Indeed.
And thank you for letting me give my finale recap.
You're welcome. Sounds very satisfying.
I give it a thumbs up. If people are interested and they didn't get it ruined for me just now. Yeah. any hoodly doodly. That's an hour, Aaron.
Yeah. Like, right, boom, right on the dot.
Smack him on the dot. Well, like putting on a pair of old comfy loafers that you just slid right into, you know, just like, boom. Loafers, I missed you.
But there's you feel so good. Where my bunion goes.
Oh, you know how to rub those calluses just right. Mm. And you know what? We got the monsterandwine@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I've checked that in about a year. Got the old mw.podbean.com. Wherever you get your podcast, Monster and Wine is probably there. And chachachatv.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look, we should be here next week, you know, apocalypse notwithstanding.
You never know.
Looking at you, North Korea.
Yeah.
Hopefully Kim Jong-un's a fan.
Oh, man. Until next time. Is that what we want? Do we really want that? I don't know.
Could be the Dennis Rodmans of 2017.
Oh, then we're all doomed.
nuclear tip ballistic missiles. Go! Arrivederci, people!